It's Thursday, August 31st, 2017, and you're listening to Last Time on Video Games, the show about retro video games and sometimes some other stuff. You're listening to episode 197. Adrian is in another castle. Runtime for this episode is 43 minutes. Hello and welcome to Last Time on Video Games, the podcast that has never seen a Rambo movie. My name is Jeremy.
Adrian! Using the joke I made last time, I'm Tyler.
First Blood, my name is Zach.
Okay, this week we played Secret Command, which is actually not a Rambo game, except for in the United States it kind of was.
It sure seems like it is.
It looks like it. It looks like it's Stallone's on the cover.
And there's a bow. I'm pretty sure that's the thing that happened to Rambo, right?
So this is spoiling our Let's Talk About the Game segment. I'm pretty sure this is a case where they made the game with the intent of getting the Rambo license, but then just released it before they did. But then in America they got it. Or it could be a case where only people in America care about Rambo.
That might be it. Although I feel like Australia is the most Rambo country on the planet.
Yeah, but so. See, that's just normal everyday stuff. And like, that's just them living life, not actually, you know,
so it's
a fantasy
no longer
land.
Exciting to them?
Yes.
This is from the late 80s where it wasn't uncommon for people to make licensed games before they actually got the license.
Under and the just, impression that they'd be first to market?
Well, and just release something else if the license fell through. Like, I know Sunman is a Sunsoft game. The people who made Blaster Master and the Batman games, they intended to get the Superman license with their connections at DC after making Batman. And it just didn't work out, so it came out as Sunman.
I've never even heard of this game.
It is mostly notable for almost being a Superman game.
I was going to say Contra, but they just hijacked some movie poster artwork. They're not actually supposed to be a license.
Yeah, now Contra's like generic Rambo-esque guys, but not actually Rambo specifically. Can you think of any trope more 80s than a guy running shirtless with a mullet firing a machine gun? Because like that is all I can think of when I think of Sylvester Stallone, despite the fact that I keep referring to Rocky.
I think more of Arnold Schwarzenegger, but it's the same trope.
That is true.
I'm sure there's other stuff that was popular in 80s culture.
Big hair?
Yeah.
Parachute pants? No, wait, that was the 70s.
Dirty Dancing? Was that the 90s?
I'm not sure.
Footloose?
Groundhog Day was the 90s. So, Zach, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a lot of League of Legends. I kind of slow down on playing PlayerUnknown's, mostly because my crew's not online.
Yeah, well, it's been a busy week. I've been on call. Mark's been playing, like, every day. You can play with Mark.
I haven't seen him online.
Oh. Well, he's been playing.
He's
like
also not on my friends list, so.
That probably has a lot to do with it.
He's on the Discord, but I don't think he does what I do, and I think most of us do, and just open up Discord whenever we restart up our machines.
That sounds like literal hell to me. Also, Discord hates me.
What? Loading Discord immediately?
That probably has more to do with it, because Discord just opens up on my machine every time I boot it, and
yeah,
then I
ignore
it.
It boots up on mine, too, and then it, like, assaults me with machine gun fire, and I have to dive for cover. And, like, it's like a tumor on my computer that I guess is a useful program other people use, but, man, does Discord not like it.
Yeah, see, I've never had that problem with Discord.
Describe Discord assaulting you with machine gun fire, because...
I've never gotten Discord to work right.
That's fair.
I think it's just your computer.
But I've put it on three different computers.
Huh. Everyone else is one and done.
Yeah, I've never had an issue with it. Although, I think the RAM on my computer is going out because random applications are causing my computer to lock and die now.
Mine's only had the problem with when you crashed Plunkbat on me.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome. I was stress testing your machine.
Thanks.
Speaking of Plunkbat, did you hear that they're releasing zombie mode?
Which I'm really not surprised.
It's mildly amusing because... somewhere between 96 and 90 other players are zombies. They cannot pick up gear, and the other people can.
So how do you know what you are going in?
You don't. It's random.
But you can see the people who aren't zombies in the plane. So yes. As soon as they drop, everybody else can drop after them.
Yeah, by default, everyone who is not a zombie is on the same team.
That might be worth trying out.
It seems interesting. I don't know that it's actually a good game mode, but it seems like a novel one.
Yeah, well, and I think zombies can also be bots, so... if you don't want to be a zombie, you can just not join one of those servers unless you're one of the people hosting it.
I've kind of wanted to do a custom game of Plunkbat that's basically the crew, every man for himself.
Just four man. Man.
Four or five people.
I feel like those would be only exciting if we caused the circle to diminish way faster or if it started smaller.
Or, you know, we could use a gentleman's agreement of everybody drop in these areas.
That is true. Like in this... artificially limit ourselves.
Yeah.
That might be a lot of fun, actually. I would be on board for that.
I mean, seeing how many people we could get, like, maybe up to maybe 10 people, because we'd have to talk to a couple of the other guys, see if they would be interested, and maybe get them a copy of the game. But I've also been playing a lot of League of Legends.
It's League of Legends?
It's League of Legends. I've been playing a lot more ARAM than I was doing other things, just because I tried playing Valkyria Chronicles, but I'm still on the level that's just... No.
I saw you were playing it a little while ago. I thought it was that you had picked it back up.
Well, I'm like, yeah, it couldn't have been that bad. I must have just had something wrong. No.
It's not bad.
The developer, I don't know what the hell they were thinking. Putting you up against a immortal tank and then throwing in a person that you can't kill just to make things even more difficult is like, I'm going to be artificially annoying and difficult for no other reason than to be artificially annoying and difficult.
I'm just imagining like a Dark Souls style introduction to the tank. It's like Tank the Immortal.
And then because of that, I actually went and I've been playing some.
That's a future assignment, so I might beep that game out.
Spoiler. Yeah, I noticed that you were doing that. And I'm having fun with that. I'm actually really excited, though, because League announced like the next champion is coming out. But more importantly, they have five new Star Guardian skins on the PBE.
That's the important part.
That is the important part. I will log into League to buy those and then leave forever.
And they have another game mode centered around those. And it's a cooperative game mode.
Do you have to punish the forces of the Crystal Dark Kingdom?
I don't know it yet. I think it has to do with the Void.
Oh, does the Dark Void Clam come? Do you have to get the three ancient relics of Japan to get the Holy Grail?
I don't
summon Super Star Guardian Lux.
The new ones are Ahri, who's getting a legendary skin on it, Ezreal, Misfortune, Syndra, and Soraka.
Oh, have they already released the art for them?
I don't know if the splash arts are out, but the models are all currently on the PBE right now. So,
and it's not just Tuxedo Ezreal, right? So
right.
I have to boycott it. I'm sorry. I have to boycott it.
I think it's actually supposed to be a riff on another series that I'm not familiar with, but I've seen people sharing screenshots of it that looks like it's basically Sailor Moon, but it's all guys. Because it's just riffing on the magical girl anime tropes. It's not Sailor Moon specifically.
I know, but I want Tuxedo Ezreal.
But yeah, so I'm really looking forward to that because that's probably my favorite of their skin lines. Because Project is cool, but Project is like, we're badasses and all that. Like, 95% of things in that game are, we're badasses, and the Star Guardians are just like, this is amazing!
I have wanted Star Guardian Syndra since before Star Guardian Lux.
I was a little bit disappointed about Star Guardian Syndra, because it's still all purple.
Ah.
But I was really, really hoping that when we got more of them, we'd have, like, Star Guardian Talia and Star Guardian Vi, just to be really weird. But I'm perfectly fine with the way things have gone.
Vi makes a good Sailor Jupiter, so that wouldn't be that weird to me, especially with her posing when she recalls.
I was actually trying to find out whether or not they had released particular skins, and as far as I can tell, the only art that exists of Star Guardian Ahri is Ahri as Sailor Jupiter for some reason.
Oh, I've seen a lot of art of Ahri making out with Star Guardian Lux, so not even trying to find it, it finds me.
I'm pretty sure people always say Sona.
Yeah, people say Sona. Oh, if you mean for Star Guardian?
No, I mean Ahri and Sona.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of that, too. No Star Guardian Katrina, though, which...
Katarina?
Yeah.
No, those are the only five right now. And I need to figure out how to use the additional pings. They supposedly added some more pings in the last patch, but I'm not entirely sure how to access them yet.
Rage quit over here.
Oh, no, it's like enemy has vision here, trolling douche over there.
I really wish trolling douche was an actual ping.
It'd be used too much to...
Now, the problem is,
ironically, troll.
It's like that subtle distinction in Splatoon between the two options they gave you, because you only had come on and good job. So, and everyone started using come on ironically, or not for its intended purpose.
That's how gamers usually work, is that they will figure out some way to troll each other, especially when they don't have voice chat.
Yeah, which is why they got rid of all the good emotes in Hearthstone.
And then,
your souls shall suffer.
So
your soul shall suffer.
That's an awesome emote.
Usually I actually end up muting people who are using emotes a lot in League because they're
your
annoying.
Soul shall suffer. What else, Zach?
I haven't been playing any Pokemon Sapphire. Or
did you
Alpha
catch them
Sapphire?
All?
No, I
have
haven't
you already
done it
become
yet.
The very best?
What no. team were you using? I had zero Gardevoirs, right?
Yeah.
Which is the wrong number of Gardevoirs for a playthrough of Pokemon Sapphire.
I think I might have missed where you can catch them.
It is there are like 5% in one place.
And I wasn't really like looking into catching everything and everywhere where I went.
Even though that's the feature they added to Sapphire?
Yeah. Because, like, after a little while, my starter right now is, like, level 50.
That sounds
or
right.
Or something. And I'm on, like, the sixth gym. I think I just beat Norman.
You haven't beat the twins yet?
Yeah. I'm not worried about it because they use rock. So, it's like, all right, this is going to be easy.
They're psychic rocks, so.
Oh, no. Well, they're still vulnerable. Especially when I'm going to be 10 levels at least higher than them.
That's the thing.
Their ass is weak to grass.
Anything else, Zach?
No, I haven't really been playing very much stuff lately. I was looking around, and I actually kind of want to get Danganronpa, but it was like $20 on Steam so far.
You're not familiar with Danganronpa?
I've never
it's
heard of this.
It's a visual novel, so it's weird to me that Zach wants to play it. It's also like
Is
a
it?
Mystery.
I thought it was like a mystery-solving
You do have
thing.
To solve the mystery in it, but like the gameplay is looking through visual novel stuff to solve the mystery. It's like a battle royal, but like the manga, it's a bunch of high schoolers stuck in high school, and there's a murderer, and like Saw-type games, and they gotta figure it out. This is not a very good explanation of Danganronpa.
I thought it was like someone is killing everybody and the mystery is figuring out who did it. I didn't think it was a visual novel.
That is it, but like that's the gameplay is you see some guys die and you have to figure out how. There's some puzzle stuff too. It just seems like a very not Zach game gameplay-wise.
It sounded interesting, and like I said, it's on my wish list. I haven't actually picked it up yet.
So the way you're describing it makes it sound like maybe kind of a Phoenix Wright game, because those games
kind
are...
of.
They're basically visual novels with, like, a spot-the-difference sort of thing in the middle.
Not exactly, but they share a lot of DNA.
Okay. Speaking of Phoenix Wright, I've been playing another level 5 game recently, which is Layden and the One on the Phone.
You were playing that last week, too.
Yes.
Anything new to report?
I still like it. It's a little more episodic than the last games, and, like, I can see why they did that, but I don't like that quite as much as the single overarching story. So there's approximately the same amount of content in this game. It's just, like... split into segments. That said, it's the way that Phoenix Wright works, and I like Phoenix Wright a lot, despite or possibly because of the fact it does that. I think it works less well in Layden, because I'm constantly coming to the solution for each of the individual puzzles before the main character does. I'm like, these are convoluted solutions. I've just learned how to think as this game thinks at this point.
That's just annoying whenever you have a puzzle that you've figured out, but the game won't actually let you solve the puzzle until you've gotten to the point where the game lets you solve the puzzle.
And to be fair, no one's playing this game for the story. They're playing it for the random excuse plot that strings together a bunch of puzzles you have to solve that are unrelated to the actual plot. And those are good. Those are consistently pretty solid in this one, actually more so than a lot of the early Layden games. So
games that are based around puzzle solving are usually more annoying in my experience than actually fun. I've always preferred the Dark Souls method of problem solving or puzzle solving.
Kill it?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, depends on what you call puzzle solving, because, like, Zelda has puzzles, but sometimes the puzzles are kill everything or light the torches.
I mean more of figure out when and how I can kill it. Like, that's how Dark Souls combat works.
Yeah, no, and these are, like, puzzles unrelated to anything. They're just, like, random brain teasers.
That's just annoying.
Yeah, no, I like that sort of stuff, but I also do, like, logic puzzles for fun. That's
yeah, you're
how
weird.
Relax. Sudoku is surprisingly popular, so if I'm weird, so is a... I actually don't sizable, maybe not majority, but sizable.
I like Crossword is the one that's really popular.
Yeah, I also like crosswords, but I prefer logic puzzles. Go figure. It's almost like I'm a software engineer or something and paid to do logic for a career. That's really sad now that I think about it. Speaking of really sad things, I've been playing the Lawn Dark and also Slime Rancher. Yes, Slime Rancher. Because
Slime Rancher and the Long Dark?
That sounds like a terrible anime. I would not watch it.
That sounds like a Harry Potter book is what it sounds like.
That is true. The story of how Slime Rancher caught the golden snitch and also died to wolves. So apparently a bunch of games that I bought when they were in alpha all decided that August 1st of this year was a great time to release their console version for some reason.
So they all had to say that they were actually done now?
Yeah, they're all version 1 all of a sudden. And with very few exceptions, the Lawn Dark has been... really solid the whole time, and I've started playing the story mode, and man, am I really liking this game. My problem is, you can definitely tell it's made by an indie game studio, because all the graphics of, like, they didn't ever have character models before, because you never actually saw anyone else, including yourself. There are just wolves who kill you to death in the cold, dark wilderness.
And the bear.
And a bear who kills you to death in the cold, dark wilderness.
The Long Dark is the one where you're in a plane, and now you aren't in a plane, and you're in the cold?
Yes. Okay. Now you're in the cold. You're stuck in the Canadian wilderness right at the beginning of winter, and also all electricity doesn't work for reasons.
I thought it was apocalypse
reasons. It's apocalypse reasons, but it's unclear whether the apocalypse extends outside of the small island you're on. So you're on an island called Great Bear in an alternate version of the world where the economic collapse of 20-something, 12-ish, was much worse than it actually was. Canada got subsumed by the American government to form some sort of North American conglomerate, and stuff got really bad, so small isolated rural communities like the island you're on didn't kind of just started falling apart as people left for urban centers. So now you're left with, like, the five crazy people who still live on the island, and also it's winter, and also there are wolves.
Lots of wolves.
Lots of wolves. Like, way more than in the sandbox mode when I was playing, last time I was playing this game.
The wolves are organized.
They are. Oh, man. They get so organized. It's great. They start becoming mutants.
Really?
Yeah, actually, so after a while, you encounter a plot event, and the weird quasi-aurora lights that first down your plane appear again, and it causes the wolves to be green, have glowing orange eyes, and they get, like, weird reverb to their growling noises. So, that was terrifying the first time that happened, but I ended up just saying, screw that, and sleeping for a night, and woke up the next day, and the wolves were like, well, now we're just regular deadly as opposed to super deadly. But as I was saying, like, it's very obvious they're an indie game studio because all the character models are just, like, a little off. Like, they're super cartoony, which helps compensate for it, but they obviously keep using the same rendering of, like, there was one scene where you're talking to an old blind lady, and he keeps being, like, angry slash startled at her, and he keeps using, like, the same scene of him turning around to glare at her. And it's, like, very obviously, like, not modified at all, just the exact same animation over and over. The voice acting is really good, though. So the problem is, like, the voice acting is so much better than the art that it's a little jarring. I highly recommend it, and it's still only, like, $20.
What about Slime Rancher?
Slime Rancher has not changed a whole lot since I first bought it, for better or worse, which is a little disappointing, but it was already a pretty good game, so I can't say that I fault it that much. There is a story mode that doesn't really function any differently than the sandbox mode. And also, I didn't play it so much as Alex played it. It's like her first game she's ever played with a twin stick controller. So that was amusing. She got noticeably better at it over the course of like an hour or two.
That usually happens.
I've been told it is surprisingly first-person shooter-ish. Despite not being having any violence in it, that has a lot of the same motions in it.
Yes, it controls very similar. Like, it is, control-wise, a first-person shooter. You also suck up and shoot things, but it's more like you interact with and explore your environment. Like, there isn't conflict to be had, really. Well,
but I've been told that slimes can be killed by other slimes, and so there is conflict in getting slimes before they are taken off.
Yes, but generally not so much that you have to do anything to prevent it from happening. Like, usually when that happens, so slimes will turn into a creature called the tar if they have eaten more than two different types of poop. Which, if you have listened to this before, is the currency in Slime Rancher. They turn into a monster called the tar, which starts consuming everything. You can suck up the tar to your gun and then blast it off of your vacuum gun, or douse it with water to destroy them. I generally just ignore them and move on from the area. I figure it's nature's way of weeding out the population of slimes who are too stupid to only eat one type of poop. Or to not only eat one type of poop. It's more like a time and resource management game, like, how effectively can I corral different types of slimes together and produce the most money off of them and play the plort market. If you need an antidepressant, Slime Rancher is an adorable game full of cute noises and happy colors.
But why would you use something like that as an antidepressant? Play something good like Doom.
Yes, all that hellish imagery just lifts my spirits right up.
Yeah, murdering large amounts of hellspawn does that.
That is true.
Really raises the spirits.
The one other thing I was going to comment on is, as I alluded to earlier, I got my coworker Mark starting to play Plunkbat.
I felt so bad for him on his first game.
Yeah, the very first game, it was me, Kevin, Zach, and Mark. And Mark landed slightly away from the rest of the group because we thought we were more or less safe, and he immediately died. Like, he wasn't even on the ground 10 seconds.
That sounds like a plunk bat to me.
It's not usually how ours work, but I still suspect that part of it was the reset of the stat reset. So the ELO and MMRs all got reset, so we were probably up against people who were better than us.
Or he just got really unlucky. So I wasn't really expecting him to like the game that much, but he's been playing solo matches, like, basically every time I'm on Steam, he's on Steam playing that game. And I find this highly surprising because, like, he's not a huge gamer. He played a fair amount of Overwatch at one point, so.
Well, I'm happy he's having fun with it, because, like, it sounded like he was having fun even in the games that we played after that one and that in the beginning of part of that game. Because that game is kind of weird, because a lot of times there's not very much action going on in it.
But it's surprisingly entertaining even at its low points, so.
Well, because it's very tense. Like, exactly. When you're alone and trying to creep through a field, it's tense to be like, am I gonna make it through here? Am I gonna be okay? Does anybody see me? And then getting into those very, very brief firefights is fun.
Yeah, I think, yeah, well, it's definitely got an excellent, like, tension dynamic, or I guess, I'm not even sure what I would call that. I'm sure there's a literary device that's
even
analogous.
Though we usually die really fast once we get into firefights.
That is true. Our team definitely prefers close quarters, and I think the majority of people who play this game prefer open fields.
I don't prefer close quarters. I can just never find a scope in a freaking rifle.
I prefer close quarters. We do better in that situation. But our team also has a proclivity towards picking up shotguns. So.
We had a really funny one where there was like 10 people in this area where we were like very close to running out of time. And so me and Kevin are like, all right, we gotta go. There's two people still around. We exited a door and ran smack dab into the guy that we knew was like somewhere in the area and like surprised him because he was trying to go through the door at the same time I was, but I reacted faster. Yeah. So we ran into each other, backed up, and like he was trying to figure out what happened as I shot him with both barrels of the shotgun.
Yeah, Zach reacted to the situation slightly faster than the other guy and subsequently did not die.
And then we died to the blue zone because me and I misinterpreted something and Kevin crashed into a fence.
As you do. Was that that game?
Where yes, you... because we were like, oh crap, we gotta go. So Kevin hopped in, we both hopped into the buggy and drove, and then Kevin smashed into a fence, got knocked down in the blue zone, and I immediately took over driving and then died like 500 feet down the road.
I'd recently learned that there was a hotkey for switch seat of vehicle you were in. So I'm like, okay, Kevin's about to die. He's about to die. Get ready to press control one as soon as I give the signal.
It was seamless.
It really was.
It
like
didn't
Kevin,
matter.
Kevin had a heart attack and immediately Zach was in the driver's seat. I don't have anything to say about that game other than what I've already said about it and also zombie mode, which sounds interesting. But I do recommend it.
Anything else, Tyler?
No. That wasn't a particularly long list, but I've been playing a lot of The Long Dark and really enjoying it. Alex has too, which kind of surprised me, given that she's not really a big post-apocalypse setting person. But how about you, Jeremy? What have you been up to?
I've had the most boring week. I don't even know what I did.
Wow.
I watched 2 episodes of anime.
That's more than I've watched recently, so.
The most recent episode of Dragon Ball Super, which I can't decide if was the best or was kind of lazy.
Is that the one where they were fighting the magical girls?
It was. And the magical girls transformed full-on Sailor Moon style. With shimmery glowiness and all sorts of legs and stuff being made of light. And Android 17 shot them. And the entire tournament was like, what the hell, man? Goku and Vegeta are like, nah, they were transforming. We're going to have a cool fight. And the Power Rangers are like, you can't interfere with justice posing. And 17's like, but they were wide open. And
this
then
is amazing.
And then they replayed the entire transformation sequence from that point. And I can't decide if I love that. Or if it was really lazy, because it was like 3 minutes of reused animation.
Also, 17? Is 17 alive?
He's in the tournament, yeah.
What?
He's one of the strongest fighters. They were like, oh yeah, 17 was off like being a protagonist of his own story during the Buu saga, being a park ranger.
What?
And is stronger.
What? I thought he was dead. I thought he died and didn't ever come back.
He comes back. He got brought back with everyone else when they wished back everyone's Cell killed.
Oh, well, he doesn't count as a person.
He does, apparently.
Oh.
He's in the Buu saga briefly when Goku is gathering the energy for the spirit bomb at the end.
Huh.
You see
I don't
him?
Remember this at all, but I'll take your word for it.
And he's alive in GT, but no one cares.
GT is not canon anymore.
It still is, despite not making any sense after Super.
Where in the storyline is that? Or is that a branching dimension?
People were speculating that, but no.
God damn it.
It's just everyone forgot about God Key. Wait, and
God Key?
Yeah, that's how you turn into a Super Saiyan God. With God Key.
Makes more sense for it to just be one of those alternate Earths.
It does. Also, there's an amazing bit where 17 throws one of the magical girls out, and she's rescued by this girl with wings, and they have a full-on like anime-like love scene with the background going to soft focus, and like a love theme playing, and they're confessing their love for one another, and 17 going, huh, I'll have to take out the flyer. That's annoying. There's this great, like, confession of love between these two female characters we've never seen.
Oh, man.
That's actually pretty great.
That is so, pretty great.
I don't know that I can actually watch Dragon Ball Super, but I really enjoy your descriptions of the show.
I would recommend this specific episode, if just for those gags.
So my question is, are they at all a match for a Super Saiyan?
One of the big problems with this arc is that Goku's conserving his strength, so he hasn't gone Super Saiyan that much. He's done it a few times. But, like, he's fighting this magical girl, and he's like, oh no, she's pushing me back in his normal base form. It's like, oh no, you only have 3 forms of Super Saiyan and 2 forms of Super Saiyan God and a Kaioken to get you stronger if you need it, Goku. I am worried you might get beaten.
Oh, yeah, that is a problem with storytelling, because if you know for a fact this character is not fighting with everything they can do, it's like, I don't see the stakes here.
So my problem is, he has instant transmission. Every fight is solved.
Oh yeah, one of the people from from World 2, the Magical Girl universe, is one of the race that taught Goku instant transmission.
I love this so much.
Twice been hit off and teleported back on. Also, anytime anyone from Universe 6 has been shot off, Hit has used his time skip to like jump and punch them back in.
Basically the same thing.
So they're basically cheating.
Kidney punch of life!
Well, a lot of teams got people who could fly to, like, because they couldn't be knocked off. But then, basically all the flyers are terrible at martial arts and have already been beaten up.
So at what point does, like, crowd interference become a rule? Like,
we have yet to see, because there hasn't been any yet, but it seems like there might be.
By crowd, I mean the rest of your team who's not actively participating in the fight, or is it like a free-for-all?
Oh, it's a free-for-all. It's a battle royale. It's an 80-man battle royale.
Gotcha.
Because they don't know what tournament means.
With teams.
Yes. Also, Frieza's on your team, so.
I kind of love the fact that there's an actual Magical Girl universe in that.
It's so, like, I don't understand why they introduce all these universes with the stakes being if you lose the tournament, your universe is erased.
So that Akira Toriyama wouldn't have to remember all the characters he's making.
But he didn't even do it. He only designed characters for the Magical Girl universe, the Power Rangers universe, and the Match of Universe 7.
So he didn't design the characters for all the other ones? Who did?
A lot of them were designed by the guy doing the Dragon Ball Super manga, who's actually very good. And a lot of them were just designed by Toei. Universe 10 are just a bunch of jabronis that look like rejected Street Fighter characters, which is kind of great, especially since just they're like getting tossed out by like Frieza and 18 casually.
That's pretty great. Is one of them a Guile knockoff?
No, one of them's got like 4 arms. They're like all alien-ish looking.
Okay.
So one of them's a Goro knockoff.
Yeah.
So Mortal Kombat more than Street Fighter.
Yeah, there's been a lot of problem with stakes in this arc, and a lot of the fights have not been well choreographed, but the last 2 episodes were real good. Hopefully it continues to pick up. So
speaking
the assignment
of Dragon
this
Ball.
Week.
Speaking of guys with muscles, Rambo.
We played Secret Command this week for the Sega Master System, the last franchise available on the Wii Virtual Console for the Mega System. Boy, is this a strange game. By that, I mean, boy, is this game just Commando.
I wouldn't say it's boring, or I wouldn't say it's...
I would say it's boring.
It is very boring.
It's boring, too. We would all say it's boring.
Wait, what did you say? Interesting?
I said strange.
Strange. I wouldn't say it's strange. It's pretty easy to tell what it is. It's a top-down, vertical-scrolling shooter.
You can't ever go back.
No, it's strange because of how Rambo it is with not being a Rambo game, except in the United States.
So it's a rando Rambo game.
Which I talked about earlier, how I'm pretty sure they made the game and thought, eh, we might get the license. Or they made the game intending to license it in the U.S. and not elsewhere.
You know, Tyler, I think that explains something, because nobody likes a rando.
I mean, I've liked a couple randos sometimes.
You didn't really like the rando.
Okay, I found them agreeable enough to not kill them.
So this game is just like Commando, up to the point where you're rescuing hostages. You're a dude, it's a top-down shooter, you fight soldiers, occasionally there are tanks.
You have a bow that is an explosive weapon.
Yeah, because you're Rambo, you have 2 guns. A gun that shoots giant baseballs that travel about half the screen.
It's not even half the screen, it's like a quarter of the screen. It's really short-ranged.
Enemies also have the same short range, at least the default ones. It makes for a real strange dynamic.
Yeah, where you have to get it inside their reach in order to hit them.
It also really kills the tension, though, because the bullets just kind of disappear, and you can get a pretty good feel for what your range and their range is, but it lacks the tension of most of these shooters because you don't really ever have to dodge. You can just walk out of range.
Yeah, it's not as much of a bullet hell as it kind of needs to be. On the other hand, you move really slowly
in
this game.
You move too slowly in this game.
And you can't really maneuver. You can't look behind you, so if an enemy gets behind you, you just have to avoid them. And you're real slow to turn to the side.
I found that most of the time the enemies that got behind me didn't really turn around. They just kind of stayed back there. So I never really had to worry about them if they came that close.
I got killed from a shot to the butt a couple times. But
so did I. You can kill enemies by getting them off screen, so it's not that big a deal. But
on the other, like, oh no, you walk really slowly. You have to blow some stuff up occasionally. You will find prisoners by blowing things up, I found.
Okay, your other weapon is your bow, which is basically an exploding grenade. It goes about 3/4 of the screen.
And you can collect arrows mostly by using it, which is kind of weird. Like, you have to use it to get more ammo for it.
Or die and respawn with your arrows.
Or that.
I was never entirely sure on the things that you could actually blow up with it. Like, I did it a couple of times, but wasn't sure what the indicator was, because they all look the same. They're all flashing, but none of them ever seem to take damage.
It's not well telegraphed. There's bad hit on things that take more than one hit. There is no hit feedback. You can't, like, it doesn't make a noise or anything.
And like most Sega games, I find the feedback for getting hit yourself really frustrating. It never really feels like, oh, I got hit, I died. And you have a slow death animation where your guy just kind of falls over, which, while kind of pretty, just kind of takes me out of the game pretty heavily.
Most of mine when I died was oops. But then again, I don't think there's any invincibility after you respawn, because there was a couple of times when I respawned and then basically immediately got shot again.
There is, but it's very brief.
That would explain it. Because, like I said, I respawned and then I was just like down the line from a couple of guys and took another hit immediately. So it's like, well, that's fantastic. Two lives, down the drain.
I'm trying to think, like, this game doesn't have particularly memorable sound effects or music or, like...
And it doesn't have commands, hidden routes, or secrets. What it has over... It doesn't have commando, I should say, not command. This game is Secret Command. That game is Commando. What it has over Commando is prettier graphics, but that doesn't really do much for it, because the game doesn't feel good. You're this big, chunky sprite, you move too slowly, and the combat doesn't feel good. Because you can't really use range correctly. You can duck behind terrain, but since you're slow, that doesn't feel especially good.
It's less duck and, like, slowly meander over to terrain.
It feels like two incompetent armies charging at each other, not really able to do much.
Sounds like us.
I really don't have much else to say about this game. Do you guys?
The thing is, like, I can see why this might have made sense. And honestly, there's some of the ideas that come into here, like rescuing prisoners and whatnot. Like, those show up again in stuff like, not Metal Gear Solid.
Metal Slug?
Metal Slug, thank you. I knew it was something like that. Comes back in Metal Slug, but that game is just so much better. I like these kind of ideas. I like this general thing here, but man, I would much rather be playing Metal Slug right now.
The thing is, all these ideas come from Commando, though. They're all stolen from a better game.
And I'm actually thinking
a game,
like,
you could play on your NES.
I'm actually pretty sure that this game is called Secret Commando, because that's what their title screen says.
No, it's Secret Command. It's a misprint on the title. Oh, yep. You guys have got to see the box art for this game.
Oh, man.
You will not believe your eyes.
This will be in the show notes. But it's the one they have on Wikipedia.
I've seen it as well.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it. We've seen that.
What does it look like?
It's Rambo.
Yeah, I thought it was just Rambo on, like, one of the lame grid backgrounds of the Master System.
Yeah, it is. But who does it look like it was drawn by, though?
I didn't think it looked drawn.
It looked like it was a picture. Like, a photograph.
No, it's not.
Okay, well, I have to go look this up now.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, I mean, this looks like almost a photorealistic picture to me, so...
Oh, this is Rambo, not Secret Command.
Oh.
It had a different box.
Okay.
That's what showed up when you typed in Secret Command.
Yeah, well, because Wikipedia, like, knows they're the same, so they share an article. And there's, like, a footnote on the Rambo 2 game that's, like, also known as Secret Command in these regions. And it actually calls out the typo on the title screen. I actually think it's a typo on the box art. I think it was supposed to be Secret Commando.
Are you prepared for this box art?
Go.
What am I even looking at?
What?
It looks like a 2-year-old drew it, not a 3-year-old. A 3-year-old would do a better drawing.
Why? What? Let me see. Why are there, like, stink lines coming off of his gun?
I think they're gun lines.
Oh my god. If I saw
that's
that
a
in
real
a
product they tried to sell you.
If I saw this in a store, I wouldn't pick it up because, oh my god, that artwork looks so bad.
The combination, like, of that serious text and that artwork, though, might actually make me pick it up just so I could find out the hell.
Like, for instance, that looks so unprofessionally done. That game I got Tyler, which was probably not that high of value, production value or anything like that, looks more professionally done than that.
Oh, man. Did you read the description that comes with this?
No.
Because it's amazing. I have to hold this somewhere so that I can read it teleprompter style. Where are your captured friends? In search of them, Ashura and Bishamon infiltrated into the enemy stronghold, but are spotted by the guards.
Oh my god, it's written by a four-year-old.
Their mission is to destroy the prisoners' huts and rescue the occupants. Use auto dash dash rifle and arrow dash dash grenade against such foes as the riflemen. It doesn't list anymore. It just says
this game clearly didn't have a marketing department.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not a period. That's
they spent
a comma.
All their money on the Rambo license, but only in the U.S.
Bazooka soldiers, artillerymen, and a host of others. The battlefield covers a vast expanse of land. You, as Ashura, can fight alone or with your old comrade, in arms, Bishamon, as the very exciting war game.
This game does have multiplayer co-op, so that's cool.
I'm not sad we didn't play it, because I don't know that it would have added much. It would have been a little funnier, I guess. Like, this game might, actually, with multiplayer, this game might have the capacity to be so bad it's good again.
I don't think so. You just have two different guys on screen at that point. It's not like it's going to add anything.
Unless you can shoot each other. If there's friendly fire...
That's just a great way to end friendships.
Do we have anything else to say about Secret Command? Boy, was it a Sega Master System game.
Oh my god, that art. Like, what the hell?
It's real. That's all I can say.
Oh my god, it looks like someone went, we don't have actual box art for Secret Command. What, my four-year-old has this picture he drew. Great, let's use it. Frank, it goes out tomorrow, like, in an hour.
I feel all like right. They could have taken the original picture of Sylvester Stallone and just, like, kind of Photoshopped it a little bit. I realized Photoshop didn't exist at the time, but...
That's Microsoft, what Contra did.
Microsoft painted it.
they took it out of... They,
no,
they
took Contra hired a real artist to draw.
So someone, one of them, like, their box art, they took a couple of the people off of pictures or, like, movie posters.
That sounds like Scat, because it had not Arnold and not Sigourney.
I'm pretty sure it was, like... One of the Contra covers was just, they spliced out somebody.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, actually, no, that one on the right is someone just put that in there.
No, the one on the left? Yeah, because that's totally supposed, they just took them off of the movie posters.
I don't know.
I can see it. I don't know either. But what I do know is that we have a list on our website, www.lasttimeonvideogames.com, listing all the games we've played from best to worst. At the top is Chrono Trigger. It starts with a C.
There are guns in it, technically.
At the bottom is Echo the Dolphin. That sure is a Genesis game.
It has a C.
In the middle is Contra 3 The Alien Wars, a much better gun game.
I mean, to be fair, it's got... Contra 3 doesn't ever have any of these, like, top-down elements. Or is this the one that did have the weird,
that is
like,
the one that
isometric
did.
At in any rate, are we going to start a Contra? Because it's conveniently the middle of the list.
It's way worse than Contra. There's
yeah,
no
I think we all agree Contra. It's way worse than Contra 3.
Let's start at Operation Wolf, the lowest shooter on the list. Actually, it's above Space Harrier.
It's better than that.
Yeah, I would have to give it to this game. Operation Wolf tried, but man, was that not a good game.
So the next shooter on the list going up is Fantasy Zone 2, The Tears of Opa Opa.
I would actually have to give it to The Tears of Opa Opa, if yeah. only for originality.
Well, Tears of Opa Opa is also slow, but it's not this slow. It also, like, it has all the same problems, but to a lesser degree, I feel. And Tears exactly. of Opa Opa has that economy to it. With the upgrade system.
Well, it's also
okay,
got the,
I'll have to agree with you then, because it's got more going on than
it's
this
also
game
got the
does.
Weird factor, which at least makes it kind of interesting as a
I
relic.
Personally don't care about the weird factor, so...
I skipped the shooter between Operation Wolf and Fantasy Zone 2, because I always forget it's a shooter. How do we think it compares to King's Knight?
I think it's better than King's Knight.
I actually think it's worse than King's Knight, because King's Knight was at least trying some new stuff that I think I'm the most fond of King's Knight.
King's Knight was way too easy to get aced by something and not be able to actually retaliate or get around it because of how you had to go through terrain. And once you were deep enough into one of those mountains, having the base of the map chasing after you to open up an area and have a whole bunch of bad guys just kind of spawn right on top of you.
But at least I had to think about going through the mountain in King's Knight, which I found much more engaging than this game.
I mean, it certainly wins points for originality, because, man, that was an idea. I had to think about this for a little bit. Certainly, I generally prefer the... Well, do I? I was thinking of, like, Operation Desert Storm, I think, which is similar mechanically to this, except you have a helicopter instead. At least I think that's the name of the game. I think I have to give it to King's Knight. It, if nothing else, wins points for originality and is more interesting than this game. This game has what you describe as the Kirby problem, where I get so bored I forget that I'm playing and die as a result.
You guys put a lot more emphasis on originality than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, because at least novelty is fun.
And I think they're approximately equivalently mechanically sound, so...
Postal 2 is between these, and it is shooter-ish, so that's what I'm going to go with for the next point of comparison.
As much as I dislike Postal 2, I think it's a more competently executed game, so...
Do I actually think Postal 2 is better executed?
It's a good
question.
Do I
think it's better than this game? That's a very interesting question, and I think I'm going to have to go with yes. Because Postal 2 does kind of have a pseudo-sandbox feel to it. So you can basically do whatever. You can go on a rampage. You can play the game the way they expect you to play it. Or you can play the game as the objectives declare it.
It's only as violent as you are, Zach.
Yes.
So the final question becomes, is Secret Command better or worse than Baseball for Game Boy?
Actually, I can say that I prefer Secret Command very slightly, but pretty distinctly.
Actually, I can too. So I was initially annoyed because it's like, we can't put this against these two games, but nah, Secret Command I think is better.
Yeah, no, it doesn't hold up against Baseball for the NES, I think, but that's why the Game Boy one is much lower on the list.
So Secret Command goes at number 197, the 10th worst game we've played, above Baseball and below Postal 2.
What sins did it commit other than abject mediocrity?
You guys really like King's Knight for some reason.
It has no originality to it, right? And it's boring.
That's true.
Like, Baseball for Game Boy isn't boring, right? Even though we put it lower. It's bad. That's why it's there. I think being boring is the worst sin a video game can commit.
That is true, but it could be competently executed mediocrity. And this game got kind of okay executed mediocrity. So, who chose this game, actually?
I did.
Oh, well, Zach, what are we going to play next week? Or are we going to just, like, skip that facade and...
Let's skip that facade.
Okay.
All right, we haven't done a theme month in years.
I think
in other words, Jeremy is feeling like he needs to take control of the podcast and exercise petty authority.
I mean...
So, like, normal.
Yeah. Either of you could easily overthrow me and you choose not to.
Yeah, well, that's because we're very complacent subjects of your tyranny.
We don't care enough.
So I'm going to say let's do a remake month. We've now played more than enough games that have been remade that we can make something out of this. There are some I'm very curious to play, some that are marked improvements, and others that I'm just, like, interested in.
If only we had saved DuckTales for this.
Yeah, but oh well. I guess we could play the original version on Disney Afternoon. That seems strange, but we could. But we're going to start with one of the first games we played for this podcast, a remake of the original Metroid, Metroid Zero Mission.
Oh, I have always wondered whether that was worth my time to play, and now it is thrust upon me.
So have I. It's available only on the Wii U, so if you just have a Wii, you can't get it. So next time on Last Time, we will revisit Metroid. That sounded like it was going to be a joke when I started it, but boy was it not. This has been a production of Last Time on Video Games, copyright 2017. All the video games and other media mentioned within are copyright their respective owners. To listen to past episodes and see other content, visit www.lasttimeonvideogames.com. If you'd like to reach us by email, you can do so at ltovg@lasttimeonvideogames.com. We're also on iTunes and would really appreciate a 5-star review, or if you just told a friend about the show. What is a podcast? A miserable pile of secrets. But this one is over. See you next week.
As far as plot goes, it's better than Dragon Ball Z, so...
The Frieza arc is pretty good.
What is the plot of the Frieza arc?
Find the Dragon Balls.
It's okay, so you've got these good guys who have all this knowledge because they can talk to the people and they know what the Dragon Balls are, but they're also weak as and can't do anything. You've got this bad guy who is kind of strong and can beat up some people and knows some stuff because he's been to Earth, but he doesn't know everything the Earth guys know, so he can't outsmart them, and he's not strong enough to beat up the big bad guy. And then you have Frieza, who's the best villain ever, but he doesn't know anything. So it's this interplay between these three factions.
Okay. You've won me over with that.
And also Goku's coming to save the day.
And then he does, and then he just punches everything, problem solved.
Then he's in a Star Wars Healy tube for a bit. Then he gets better at punching things. Then he punches the bad guy with all the life nearby, but that doesn't work, so he gets mad. And punches
and then punches him harder.